So yeah, I'm really excited to be back again sharing with you this morning. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to get up here and share. And like I said last time, it's kind of a terrifying privilege, but it's a privilege all the same. And so yeah, I'm really excited. We're in a sermon series right now called Building a Fire from Flicker to Flame. Wow, that's a lot of that's a lot of F's to say. It's a tongue twister. That sounds bad. Okay, anyways. We're in this sermon series, and I'm super excited about it because as we discussed it as a team, we just talked a lot about the idea that within every human heart, so which within each and every one of us here this morning, there's at least a flicker's worth of desire to know God. And I've always thought that that's just such a cool concept that no matter where you are in your journey this morning, because we were all made in the likeness and image of God, we all have at least a small desire, at least a flicker's worth of desire to know our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and to know God. So it's exciting to be a small part of what God's going to do in this series. So thanks for having me come and share with you this morning. Last week, Nathan talked about turning up the heat in our relationship with God, which was really cool, a cool way to open the series. He talked about our expectations and kind of just chasing after God, and that was awesome. And so this week, we were reading through a book by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God, which is what this sermon series is loosely based off of, and it's an awesome book. And as I was reading through, I felt a particular chapter kind of jumping out at me and kind of resonating with my heart, and that chapter talked a lot about what fuels our flame. It talked about wanting for God more than anything else in the world. And it talked about only being satisfied by God above any other earthly possession or thing. And so reading through that, I really felt like I talked to Nathan and I was like, this is the chapter. I really feel like this is what God is putting on my heart. So I'm excited. I'm excited for us to dive into this together. But before I do, I want to tell a story about myself. And it's not like an amazing, I'm not like going to tell a story that makes me look super awesome. It's kind of a funny story. Anyways, for those of you who may not know me, I'm a planner. I love to plan. I love details to be like worked out. And at any given moment in time, I like for like everything to be figured out and detailed and like put together. That's just my personality. So sometimes that can be good and other times it can be not so good. But I'm particularly this way when I travel. And so I get, like, packer's anxiety. I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but when I know that there's a trip coming up, I want to start packing, like, a couple weeks in advance, which doesn't work because you need those things before your trip or whatever. But I love to have, like, 1,000 lists wrote out and to check everything off and have my bags packed neat and organized. That's just the way I am. So Tyler and I went on a family vacation a few years ago to California. And I held myself off until like 3 or 4 days before the trip. And then I kind of started, you know, preparing the lists and I started packing. And I prepared for like a 5-year journey, even though we were only going for a couple weeks. But I was ready. I had like everything that I could have possibly needed in our suitcase. So we went to the airport. We checked in our luggage. We were ready to go. We were leaving from Fredericton, New Brunswick in the middle of a snowstorm. So to make a long and grueling story short, we were supposed to fly from Fredericton to Toronto down to our destination in the States. But because we live in the Great White North and because snowstorms are kind of like an everyday thing here, we got super delayed. And so what was supposed to be just a one connection situation ended up being we flew from Fredericton to Toronto, to Calgary, to Vancouver, to our destination in the States. And we missed like 2 days of hotels that we were supposed to have down there. And it was just, it was kind of like a huge mess. So somewhere between New Brunswick and BC, Tyler and I's luggage got lost. And so when we arrived at our destination in the States, nothing that I had spent so long packing and preparing arrived with us. It was just what we had brought on the plane in our carry-on, which was pretty much just all of Tyler's books, to be honest. So we had pretty much nothing that we needed. And I was super discouraged. I was like really dramatic about it. I felt like our whole trip was ruined. I didn't know how I could possibly enjoy myself with none of our belongings. We went to Walmart and bought like a toothbrush and a spare change of clothes, but that was pretty much it. And I just felt like my life was over in that moment because I had none of my things. And so I tell this story to kind of illustrate within myself, I know that there is a desire to be super attached to my earthly possessions. And I don't know about you and what it is for you this morning, but there are things in this world that tempt us to become attached or to give a possession or a thing or a person the place in our heart where God belongs. And so I really want us to dive in together to what Jesus has to say and what the Bible has to say about earthly possessions and the place that they hold in our hearts. And even more than that, I really want us to dive into what God wants for us to desire from him. So we're going to be reading from a story in Matthew today. If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, we're going to be reading about a guy he's not actually named in this story, but he's commonly referred to as the rich young ruler. So that's in chapter 19, starting at verse 16, but I am going to pray. So while you're turning there, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word and that it can speak to us. And we're just so thankful for you this morning. God, I just pray that your words would flow through this message. God, I pray that anything from me would just fall to the ground, God, and that you would just minister to all of our hearts here this morning, and that you would just teach us how we can desire after you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you don't have a Bible in front of you, it'll be up on the screen so you can follow along with me. So Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, it says, "Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which ones?' he inquired. Jesus replied, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these things I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man this is possible, but with God all things are possible.'" So we're reading about this guy. Like I said before, we're not given a name for him, but we kind of refer to him as the rich young ruler. And we do that because he was a young guy, super successful at the time, had a lot of wealth, had a lot of influence. And in Jewish times, someone like this would have been seen as having the favor and blessing of God. So wealth in Jewish times, in the biblical times that we're reading about, was looked at a lot differently than the way we look at someone who might be wealthy today. So we don't look at every person in the world who's wealthy and assume that they are that way because they're blessed by God. But in Jewish custom, that was the way it was. Someone that had high honor in society, someone that was successful and wealthy, was looked at as being that way because God blessed them. So when the rich young ruler is interacting with Jesus, he's asking the question, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" He's asking this question because from the outward appearance and from the standards at the time, he was doing it all right. And so he's asking this question. He knows that within his heart, he doesn't fully have what he's seeking after. So in his interaction with Jesus, he's saying, "What can I do to get this? What can I do to get eternal life?" And we just read that Jesus presents a challenging question to him or a challenging statement to him, and the rich young ruler walks away without eternal life. But before we can really dive into why that is and why Jesus gave this challenge to the rich young ruler, I think we have to take a few steps back and truly understand what it is that we were designed to do. And so I said earlier this sermon series is loosely based off of a book by A.W. Tozer. And I was reading through that book this week preparing for the message, and I found this quote, it's going to be up on the screen, that I felt was just so perfect for this message, fit so perfectly with what we're looking at this morning. So the quote says, "In the deep heart of the man was a shrine where none but God was worthy to come. Within him was God, without a thousand gifts which God had showered upon him." And so this quote really kind of pushed me to look back to the beginning, to look back to the creation story of when God created man and woman. So I was reading through Genesis 1. You don't have to turn there. It's going to be up on the screen. I'm just going to read it quickly. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. So we're reading in that passage that God created man and woman in his image and in his likeness. So God, he created us to be, so we know that when God created us, he was good. So being created in the image and likeness of God, we therefore were good when God created us. So that is so interesting, because what we're reading in the rich young ruler passage is that the rich young ruler was asking Jesus, "What good deed can I do? So how can I do something that will be good enough to inherit eternal life?" And what I thought was so important for us to go back and look at again was that in the beginning we were created to be good, because God is good, and we were created in his likeness and image. And so, like we read, we were created to live in harmony with one another. Adam and Eve were in harmony in their relationship together, in their relationship with God. They had communication with him in the garden. They had rule over all that was on the land and in the sea and in the sky. And they were enjoying what God had created for them. And like I said just a few seconds ago, God looked in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 1, God looked on his creation and he said that what he made was good. And so we know that God's intention in creation was that we would just revel in his goodness and in his faithfulness. And so because we know that, because we know that we were created in the image and likeness of God, that's why we can be assured this morning that there is at least a flicker's worth of desire in our hearts to know him. So I said that at the beginning, that I truly believe that in each of our hearts this morning, no matter where we are in our journey, there's at least a small desire to know God, because he created us. So even if you don't consider yourself to be in a relationship with Jesus this morning, or even if maybe you're here for the first time and you don't even really know to believe or claim to believe in God, we can know that there is at least a small desire in our hearts to know him, because he created us in his image and in his likeness. So it's only natural that we would desire to know God and our Heavenly Father. And what I've come to know in my journey, in my relationship with God, is that the more we seek after God, the more we truly do find him. And what I've also learned is that to know God really is to worship him, because the more that we begin to know God and his goodness to us and his faithfulness in our lives and his love for us that just surpasses any other thing, we're really just drawn to our knees in worship. And maybe you haven't totally experienced that this morning, and that's totally fine. We're so glad that you're here, and I hope that God moves in your heart. But I just want to encourage all of us this morning that to know God really is to worship him. So the more that we press into him, the more that we search after him, seek after who he is, the more that we will find him and the more that we will desire to worship him. Okay, so we know that we are made in God's image and likeness, so we know that we have this desire in our hearts. Even if it's a small desire, each and every one of us has a desire to know him. But what we also know this morning is that we have sinful temptations and desire that also wage against those desires to know God. So we're fighting with this battle. We want to know God, our Savior, and our Lord, but we also have sinful temptations and desires in our hearts, which is the second point I want us to consider this morning, which is that sinful nature and desires tempt us to allow other things to take the place where God belongs in our hearts. And so A.W. Tozer has another quote that I want to read. It's up on the screen. It says, "Our woes began when God was forced out of his central shrine and things were allowed to enter." And I think that just fits so beautifully into what we're talking about this morning, because it's so true that in the beginning, when God created us, it was us and God. That relationship was not tainted. But when sin entered the world, that did become tainted. That bond between us, there was a veil. There was something blocking it when sin entered the world. And that happened because when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were tempted to allow something else to take the place that God had in their hearts. So God created them. They had every blessing they could have wanted in the beginning. They were living, like we said before, in harmony with one another, in harmony with all that was on the world. They ruled over all that was in the earth. They were communicating with God in the garden, but they were tempted. So when God created them, he said, there's one thing you can't have, and it was fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, just stay away from that. This is the one thing you cannot indulge in. And they were tempted to allow that to take the place that God had in their hearts. So when they gave in to the temptation and ate from the fruit of that tree, they allowed something else, the desire for the knowledge of good and evil, to take the place where God was sitting in their hearts. And so at that point, and throughout all of history, and even through till today and till the end of the world, in this world, every human will be tempted to allow something to take the place of where God is in our hearts. And so thinking back to the rich young ruler, he was no exception to this. He was tempted to allow something to take the place where God was in his heart, and for him that was his wealth. And so when he encountered Jesus, he wanted to know, God, what can I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus saw right away what was ruling the heart of the rich young ruler. Jesus saw that it wasn't God that had that throne, the place in his heart. It was his wealth. It was his richness that was ruling his heart. And what I really want to kind of express this morning, or kind of really focus on, is the question that the rich young ruler was asking was, God, or Jesus, what good deed can I do to receive eternal life? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've asked that question before, because it's so easy to get that question wrong in our hearts. Because I truly believe that the rich young ruler was asking the wrong question. He was asking, God, what can I do to be good? And Jesus responded that there was only one who was good. But the rich young ruler, he wasn't understanding that it's not about what he could have done. There was nothing he could have done. He was really doing everything in his power that he could have. He was following the commandments. He was had influence in the time. He was regarded highly. He was doing everything in his power that he could do. But he knew that he didn't have the eternal life that he was seeking after. So he wanted to know, what can I do? And I think we have asked that question. I think if we're honest, we've all asked that question. God, what can I do to be better? Or what can I do to be good? I know for sure I've asked that question. And that question is the wrong question to be asking. Because like Jesus said, there is only one who is good, and that's God. And so the only way for us to be good after sin entered into the world was to have God ruling our heart, was for God to be on the throne and nothing else. And so I just want to say this morning that, and also for you to know that there's no judgment, no condemnation in this, because we're all in this boat together. I'm being completely honest with you. Like my story at the beginning, I am not good all the time at allowing God to be in complete control or to be on the throne of my heart. It's so easy for me to allow other things, particularly, order or happiness or success or a good reputation, to rule my heart, and for God to kind of be pushed out of that place and for those things to be what's ruling my heart. So no judgment or condemnation this morning for anyone that's wrestling through something similar, because it's really easy for us to do that. It was easy for the rich young ruler to allow wealth to be what fueled his flame. It was easy for him to not even see that that was what he was doing. He was asking God, what good deed could I do? Because I truly believe he didn't realize that wealth was sitting in the throne of his heart. But when Jesus said, go and sell your possessions and then follow me, he was challenged and made the decision that he couldn't do that, because his wealth was what was ruling the throne of his heart. And I just want to say also this morning that what I've come to know in my relationship with God, and what I'm sure most of you know this morning, but I just want to kind of reiterate it, is that there's truly no earthly possession or thing or person that could satisfy the longing that is in our heart. And so not to say that those things are bad in and of themselves. So it's not to say that the rich young ruler's wealth was wrong or bad. And it's not to say that the thing maybe you're chasing after this morning is wrong or bad. So for me, I know that desiring to have, you know, things in order in itself is not wrong. But giving that the place in our heart over God is where we're missing the mark, is where we're falling short of what we could truly be receiving from God. So I just really want to say that this morning, that it's not the possessions, it's not the wealth, it's not the thing that we're chasing after that's wrong. And so from that, I want to say that I'm not suggesting that we all go and sell all of our possessions this morning and that's how we will receive eternal life. Because that's not what Jesus is saying to every person that was coming to him, asking him for eternal life. He wasn't asking that of everyone. So I really wanted to kind of get that point across, that it's not the thing itself that is wrong. It's the place that we give it in our hearts over God that that is kind of where we're missing the mark there. And so just a quick illustration that I felt really went well with what we're thinking about this morning. There was a guy by the name of John D. Rockefeller. Here he is on the screen. Couldn't find a more updated photo of him, but I'm just kidding. He lived a long time ago. He was a super successful guy. I'm sure that probably some of you know of him, but just to give a couple kind of deets about him, he was super successful. He was actually considered and is still considered to be the wealthiest American of all time and actually the richest person in modern history. So super successful, had you know, kind of everything that he could have needed or wanted, and he was interviewed by somebody who was asking him about his money, his riches. And so at the time, I think I read that he was a billionaire. So in the time, that was like crazy. I mean, now when you hear billionaire, like there's lots of billionaires nowadays. But in the time, that was that. I wish I was a billionaire. Just saying, but. In the time that, you know, that was huge for him. So the interviewer was talking to him, asking him about his riches and his wealth, and they asked him, how much money is enough? So the interviewer is asking the richest man in American history, the richest person in all of modern history, how much money is enough? And his response was, just a little bit more. Which I think is so mind-blowing when you think about what we're talking about this morning, that the richest person in modern history wasn't even satisfied with what he had. And I just think when I was reading that quote, I was just like, my kind of earth was shattered a little bit, because I thought, it's so true that you could chase after wealth like John D. Rockefeller did, and you could receive, you know, as much or more than you could ever ask for and still not be satisfied by that. And that is just, that's just incredible, and it's incredibly true about what we're talking about this morning, that whether it is wealth or whether it is success or maybe it's happiness by worldly standards or maybe it's, you know, I don't know what it is for you this morning. But if it's anything other than God, it's not going to satisfy the longing within our hearts. And C.S. Lewis, there's a quote on the screen by him. He says it so perfectly when he says, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." And I think that's such an incredible quote, because within us, we each have a desire to know God. Even if it's a small desire this morning, that desire is there. That flicker is there. And it's for God and nothing else. So nothing can satisfy it, because God is not, he can't be topped by anything else in the world. So anything that we try and fill that space with, or in earthly terms or standards, will not satisfy us. And so just kind of as we're wrapping up here this morning, again, I just want to say that this is not to say that what you're kind of passionate about or maybe chasing after in your career, in your family, or just in your personal life, it's not to say that those things are wrong, because like we read in Genesis, God blessed Adam and Eve with lots of earthly things. They were blessed with They were blessed with rule over the world and all that was walking on it, in the sea and in the sky. They were blessed with relationship with one another. They were blessed with communication with him. It's not to say that those things are wrong. I just want to make that clear this morning that those possessions and earthly things, they're not wrong. But it grieves the heart of God when we put those things in the place where only God belongs. And I just want to say, just from a place of transparency, that I'm super challenged with this. As I was preparing this message this week, I just really felt convicted, even as I was reading through these chapters and just kind of studying about this passage. I was convicted about whether or not I truly allow God to rule the throne in my heart and life all the time. And so I want to say that in transparency, just to say that this is, I hope you're not taking this as a condemnation or judgmental kind of thing, because I think we're all in the same boat. After sin entered the world, we all were tempted. We're all tempted to allow something else to take the place in our hearts where God belongs. And so if that's you this morning, if maybe this is something you've been thinking through, I just want to say, we're all in this together. And God has this promise for us that if we can commit to the sacrifice that the kingdom of God and eternal life requires, we are going to be blessed beyond belief. And it's not going to look the same for each and every one of us. So what God is asking from us is not going to look the same for me as it will for you. And that's why I really want to say that this is not like a message encouraging you to go sell all your things. I want to make sure that that's clear, that this is not what I believe God is teaching us from this passage. I truly believe that what he's teaching us is that there is a sacrifice required by the kingdom of God, and there's a sacrifice required by following after Jesus. And it's going to look different in each of our lives, but however it is that he asks that of you, I just want to encourage you this morning to try with all your might to press into that. And no sacrifice is easy. And that's why it's so sad to read the story of the rich young ruler, because he walked away sad because he couldn't give God that place in his heart. And he just missed out on what his heart was truly longing for because he couldn't give God that place. And so I just want to say for us this morning, the worship team's going to come back up here and we're going to kind of draw things to a close. But I just want to say, I think one of the most vulnerable and challenging things that we could do this morning is to look at our hearts and to truly ask ourselves the question of what is ruling our hearts? Who or what is sitting on the throne of our hearts this morning? It could be a relationship. Maybe it's your marriage or a relationship with somebody, your children maybe. It could be wealth, like it was for the rich young ruler. It could be chasing after success or happiness. It could be a career. It could be a number of things this morning. But what I really want us to look at and ask ourselves is it something other than God? And if the answer is yes, then we're really missing out on the beautiful promise that is eternal life, the kingdom of God this morning. And so as the worship team closes in a few songs, I just want us to kind of take a few moments and just examine our hearts and see, and I'm saying this for me as well, that we could examine our hearts and see what is on the throne this morning. And that we could ask God to give us the strength to resist the temptation to allow things to take the place in our hearts. So just like the story I told about myself at the beginning, my trip wasn't ruined. I got my luggage a few days later. Things were fine. The trip was super enjoyable. I look back and see that those earthly possessions weren't what made that trip enjoyable. And just so similarly, when we look at our lives, I really believe that when we meet the Lord at the end of our lives, we're not going to look back and miss the things we had on earth. We're going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior and just be so overwhelmed with the joy of him that nothing else will matter. And so this morning, as we close and worship together, I just want to encourage us to examine our heart. And if you want to respond in some way, if you need prayer or if anything like that, you can approach any one of us on the team. We'd love to pray with you. But if you want to just stay in your seats and just think about what it will take this morning for you to give God that throne and that place in your heart. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship. God, thank you so much that you promise to give us eternal life, that you created us in your image and in your likeness, and that through you we can experience the kingdom of God and eternal life. I just pray this morning that you would give each of us the strength to resist the temptation to allow things to take the place in our heart where you belong. God, would you just lead us into wanting to fuel our flame with only you, God. And I just pray for each heart this morning that's longing for you, that's seeking after you, that you would draw close to these hearts this morning, God. We know that when we seek after you, we surely will find you, God. So would you just be with us this morning as we close in worship, God, and would you be glorified through our hearts and our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.